Well, thank you. It's wonderful to be invited back. We really appreciate it. It is a privilege to be invited to preach at any pulpit, even if it's a pulpit you're familiar with from the past. So thank you, Mark. It's wonderful to be back. And it's wonderful to be welcomed back. We really appreciate that. And as one of the Jesses said, Elliot invented toddler jam. Well, that's partly true. Really, all I did was do what my wife Sandy told me to do. Sandy said, this is what I reckon we should do to reach. All we aim to do is reach the families in a few of the local streets at Old Bedford Baptist Church. And this was the idea. Sandy said, you just get up and be a big kid and do for the kids what you do, and then I'll do the rest. And in fact, as you probably heard, a whole team came around. It wasn't just Sandy and myself. It never has been. But God has done it. And we were amazed to think 20 years God has taken it much further than we could have imagined. So we give God all the praise for that. Yeah. So also 20 years ago, Pastor Mark asked me to come and help out with the worship team. And basically that was it. And Mark said, oh, by the way, and this was after Sandy and I had prayed it through with the kids, by the way, we want you on the pastoral team. And what's that? And well, Mark said, you'll learn, I'll train you. And I also studied at Bible College, that was a privilege to do that. And so then after 13 years as part of the church, Sandy and I think by the time you get to the age of 47, you feel like, well, this is what I'm always going to be doing. Has anyone ever felt that way? Any 47-year-olds? Mid-40s, okay. You get to that age and you think, well, this is what God has gifted me, prepared me to do, so this is what I'll just be doing. And that's fine. However, God very clearly took Sandy and myself and our children, including Stephen, our oldest offspring, Leah and Josh. And Stephen is 19 today. It's his birthday today. So please say happy birthday to Stephen. He wasn't born when we started at what's now Inglewood Community Church. So God transplanted us, and that's what I'm talking about today. When God transplants you, and the reason or the possible reasons why he does it, and the amazing things he can do when he transplants you. So we were transplanted out there in the goldfields. Anyone been to the goldfields? Anyone taken one of those great road trips of the world out to Kalgoorlie, Boulder, and those regions? So generally, it's thought of as being out in the desert, right? You're located on the edge of the Great Victoria Desert. So here we are. Sandy, Stephen and myself, we've been out there in the desert for 7 years and we've been invited back. And these are some of the stories we have for you of those 7 years out there. So out there in the desert, I've had the privilege of getting to know the mayor, John Bowler. Very fine man. He's a good man, John Bowler. And we were at an event at Goldfields Baptist College, which is also a ministry of Kalgoorlie Baptist Church. And I was sitting there and we had a moment to chat, and I happened to commit the grave error of referring to our region as the desert. And Mayor Bowler said to me, Elliot, it's not the desert, it's the Great Western Woodlands. All right, fair enough it is. The Great Western Woodlands. Let me tell you about these Great Western Woodlands. The Great Western Woodlands, and this is according to the Parks and Wildlife Service website. The Great Western Woodlands is an area of great biological richness that extends over 16 million hectares, about the same size as England. It is regarded as the largest remaining area of intact Mediterranean climate woodland left on Earth, and contains about 3,000 species of flowering plants, about a fifth of all known flora in Australia. And on it goes. It's a great refuge and habitat for frogs, mammals, and birds. And so I'm bringing to you today is firmly, and pardon the pun, rooted in Scripture. In Jeremiah 17, I'm just going to read to you from Jeremiah 17, reading from verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. That's the bad news. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But verse 7, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Amen? Can we give God the praise for that? You know, surprisingly, we've got two kayaks up there in our cave out the back. Yeah, and that's often the reaction. But you know what? The rain has come lately out to the goldfields. And a good friend of ours, he referred to it as Douglas. He said, have you seen Douglas lately? We go, who's Douglas? Douglas is full again after the rain. We can call it Lake Douglas again. Lake Douglas is full again. You can get out there in the kayak. A mate of mine's even has a little yacht that he carries on his trailer. And I've been out on his yacht on Lake Douglas. Been land sailing out in Lake Lefroy. But you don't need rain for that. You just need wind. So I have a question for you. This is for you, every one of us here. Do you have roots that reach down deeper? Do you have them? Because, friends, you need roots that reach down deeper. So what are these roots? And how do you acquire these roots? And what has God got to do with it? Well, I have a few points here about these roots. And one of the ways we could describe these roots is the choices we make. What are those choices like? And what process do we go through to make these choices? And number one, thank you, James. It's great to have James taking care of the presentation there. Number one, bad choices are like shallow roots that actually damage our lives. Bad choices. So verse 5, this is what the Lord says, wrote Jeremiah. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. And I'm asking again, do you have those roots that reach down deeper? Guys, we have choices to make every day. How do we make the right choices? Do you just think, well, I'm fairly clever. I can work this out. I will make the right choice here. I know I can do this. But that's not going to work. It will end in disaster. Number two, wise choices are like deep roots that enhance our lives. So the bad choices actually damage our lives, but the wise choices are like deep roots that enhance our lives. Jeremiah wrote, and I'm reading it again, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. And it's the transplant that we need the most. This is a transplant that you really need. It's taken from the Hebrew word. This is the Hebrew word that Jeremiah used. The word was shorthai, and it actually means to transplant. So even though he wrote a tree planted by the water, the Hebrew word he used was actually meaning transplant. And this is what God does. He takes us and he transplants us into a place we're not necessarily comfortable with. We're not necessarily at ease with. We may feel very much out of our depth, but this is the transplant that we need the most. One of my friends up in Cal, he was visiting Esperance. A lot of Kalgoorlians hit Esperance. It's our local beach. So he was down there in Esperance, and he met this man of Italian extraction, and this man had a whole lot of soil in his trailer, and he had brought that soil from Kalgoorlie down to Esperance, and he was moving to Esperance, and he was going to grow grapes down there, plant a vineyard. And my friend said, why did you do that? Why did you take a whole lot of Kalgoorlie soil with you down to Esperance? What's the point? And this man who had been a market gardener all his life said, this Kalgoorlie soil is the best soil on the planet. All it needs is water. I believe there's a spiritual principle there. So do you have these roots that reach down deeper? Number three, wise choices are like deep roots that sustain our lives. So the bad choices damage our lives and the lives of others. The wise choices enhance our lives, and the wise choices sustain our lives. Sustain our lives through what? Well, Jeremiah wrote, such trees with these deep roots, and they keep going down deeper through every challenge, are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. On the way back, after we did our trip, our exciting trip, just in late December, just before Christmas, some of you may remember our daughter Leah was married at December the 20th. So after that, Sandy and I shot up to Geraldton, and we house sat Leah and Tobin's house while they were away on their honeymoon. And we were up there in Geraldton. On the way back from Geraldton, we stopped back through Muckinboodin. Muckinboodin is a very tough place to farm, one of the toughest places on earth. And you know what? After all that's happened in these last 18 months in Australia, fires, droughts, COVID, the Muckinboodin farmers, and these guys, they will not engage in bull dust, all right? The Muckinboodin farmers, we were asking, how did it go? They said, we've had the best year ever. And it's been on the news, hasn't it? Right across Australia, the best harvest ever. Do you think some prayers have been answered? Do you think some roots have gone down deeper? Can we give God the praise for that? And speaking of Muckinboodin, back in 2009, I had the privilege of being involved in leading worship at the Mighty Men's Conference with Paul Morrison, with Morrow. It was fantastic, a great time. And at one of the events, 4,000 men out there at Advent Park. That is the biggest gathering of just men at a worship event, 2009. And you know what? Tiny little Muckinboodin. It seemed every second bloke out there was from Muckinboodin. Do you think God is doing something out in the wheat belt of WA? When men get hold of God like that, when he gets hold of them, those roots go down deeper. So all I'd ever known, and I've had a long association with the fine town of Muckinboodin, all I'd ever heard about was, oh, it's tough. Oh, it's so dry out here. Droughts. It's really tough. But then in 2009, Morrow and I and some of the guys, we got an invitation from Muckinboodin, Church of Christ. They said, can you come out? We're doing a Thanksgiving event. Guys, I'm telling you these stories because these are how the roots go down deeper. We're having a Thanksgiving event. Oh, what happened? Oh, we've had 10 years of drought. I said, I know about that. And then a bunch of us just started praying. One of the farmers, Graham Seabee, you've heard of the Seabee name in AFL football. One of the farmers said, you know what? We've been going to these Mighty Men's conferences. Angus has been challenging us to get real and pray with God. So how about this? Every Friday, we're going to stop our machinery and we're going to stop and visit each other's farms and stop there and pray together. Let's see what happens. And his daughter, she didn't really say much. She just took photos. This went on for 12 months. Took photos. So when it started, it was dry as Muckinboodin could ever get. She just took photos, Dad and his mates praying together. And then, do you know what happened? After 12 months, the most rain Muckinburden has ever had. One of the guys, Murray Jones, a local, he became a chopper pilot. So there we are with Morrow and the guys. We're at the Thanksgiving event. They're saying, thank you, Lord. And Murray said during the lunchtime break, hey, guys, do you want to come up for a chopper ride? And we said, yeah, we'll do that. And in all my visits to Muckinburden, all I'd ever seen was the dirt and the dry. And we got up in Murray's chopper. We're flying over. If someone hadn't told me, we would have thought we were flying over somewhere in Wales. There was green everywhere. These are how the roots go down deeper. And I told you about the daughter taking the photos. That night at the Thanksgiving service, they showed a slideshow of all the photos. There wasn't a dry eye in the house because everyone knew why the rain had come, why the roots had gone down deeper. Do you have these roots that reach down deeper? Wise choices are these roots that reach down deeper. And the more you make these wise choices, the deeper the roots go. Wise choices are like deep roots that multiply the effectiveness of our lives. Jeremiah wrote, their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Did you hear that? What's the key phrase in there? Never stop. Never stop producing fruit. I'm going to introduce you through some photos to some people who never stop producing fruit in the goldfields. Jeremiah here is drawing on Psalm 1, as Pastor Mark observed this morning. Top marks to Pastor Mark again. Psalm 1, verse 3. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither and they prosper in all they do. Now, I had a little quiz for you, but you don't. No one here likes quizzes, do you? You're not interested, are you? Of course you are. You love quizzes. Okay. All right. So what I've got here, what James has got here for you coming up, is photos. And these are photos of some very famous people. And there is a connection. And I wonder if you can work out what the connection is as we go. So first of all, do you recognise who that might be in that photo? That is President Herbert Hoover. US President Herbert Hoover. Okay, next. All right, it's hard to make out who that is, but the very sort of, you know, rough and ready looking lad up the front at the age of 18, R.M. Williams. That's him, R.M. Williams. And if you're wondering who he's sitting with there, it's a group of missionaries. Okay, next. You must recognise that family. Who's that? It's Johnny Cash with June Carter Cash and John Jr. All right, next. VJ Singh, someone likes golf there. VJ Singh, he was a number one golfer, world number one golfer. Next, that's right, General William Booth, the Salvo roots into play there. That's good. Thank you, Anne-Marie. General William Booth. Okay, the next photo. And this is where you may guess the connection between all those famous people. Anyone? Has anyone worked it out? Yeah, they all came to the goldfields. They all came to the desert. What was going on? Okay, Herbert Hoover, US President, he was a mining engineer and he was overseeing the mine up in Leonora. Next was R.M. Williams. He made the boots and the coats. He was a missionary out at Mount Margaret. Oh, he was helping the missionaries. He drove the camels for them. He actually welded a water tank up there. It's got his initials in there. Next was Johnny Cash and June and John came out to Kalgoorlie in the 70s. Johnny said, I want to go to Kalgoorlie, and it's there, you can Google it. All this stuff you can Google, it's there. There's footage of Johnny singing for the local Aboriginal community. There's kids, Aboriginal kids this big, and they all knew who he was. Next, Vijay Singh, world number one. Back to Vijay Singh. World number one golfer. They asked Vijay Singh, where did you really tighten your game up? He said, on the sand greens of Kalgoorlie Golf Course. And then General William Booth, on the corner of Maritana Street and Brookman Streets in Kalgoorlie is a tree that General William Booth planted. It is a Kurrajong tree. Kurrajong trees have some of the largest root systems in the world. Are you seeing a connection here, or is it just me? General William Booth in 1905, why did he stop there? He travelled to Australia. For some reason, he made a point of stopping there, planting a tree. That plaque there affirms what happened. You can see it there today. That's a photo I took. You know what I love to think about? I wonder what General William Booth prayed as he planted that tree. Anyone else think they might enjoy thinking about that? Can you imagine that? He plants this tree and it's still there. Its leaves are still green. They're the famous people who have happened to stop by in the goldfields over time. But there's some more famous people. There's my friend, Tyrone Brownlee, who's visiting here today. Tyrone, can you just raise your hand? He's there. Guys, right, there's the Angels and then there's the Brownlee Gospel Singers. And I really encourage you, no pressure, by the way, Pastor Mark, but sometime, if you can find time to invite my friend Tyrone, who is studying medicine at Notre Dame University, to come and sing. You will be blessed beyond measure. And some other people you wouldn't have heard of. And it's this old school photo there. It's the next one, thanks, Jane. That couple there. That is Brian and Dawn Hadfield. You probably haven't heard of them. Mari has, of course. She knows them. But that is Brian and Dawn in Sydney nearly 60 years ago as they were about to head across the Nullarbor in that truck to answer the call of God. And the call of God was to minister to the Aboriginal people out in the desert east of Kalgoorlie, 200 k's east in Kundalee. Brian and Dawn. And now they serve God as part of Kalgoorlie Baptist Church. They have the roots that reach down deeper. We're privileged to have Brian and Dawn in our home group. And we have a multicultural home group, which is fantastic. We have Russians, we have PNGers, we have Kiwis, we have Aboriginal believers, we have the Hadfields, we have a Rwandan. And the Rwandan guy in our group, he's also a carer, and he had an Aboriginal friend who he was caring for. And one night we had a prayer time. And Idi, our Rwandan friend, his Aboriginal friend, was with him. It's from the desert. Didn't speak English very well. But Brian Hadfield speaks desert language as well as any of the indigenous people. And Brian prayed for our friend in his language. And our friend passed away a short while later. But we won't forget that moment. Brian and Dawn, whose roots reach down deeper. Because I'm here preaching here this morning, Brian is preaching at KBC. And he's 85. And we're talking about what he should preach about. And he said, Elliot, he's a very godly man. He said, Elliot, I've been thinking about this and I feel that God's saying, speak about Brian's blasts from the past. I said, Brian, that sounds perfect. Let's just keep doing that. He said, you think that's good? Yeah, good, let's do that. Have I asked you this question yet? Do you have those roots that reach down deeper? Do you? So how do we actually do this? What practical change or improvement are we being challenged to make here? That's what Jeremiah was challenging us to make. Not some, you know, mystical, you know, funky kind of airy fairy spiritual super thing. It was, what practical change or improvement are we being challenged to make? And the key is this. Are you ready? It's this. Thanks, James. Quiet time in the presence of God. That's where the roots reach down deeper. That's it. This isn't just a habit that belongs to a time centuries ago when life moved at a much slower pace. We need our quiet time every day with God more than ever. Do I get an amen? More than ever. How else can we hope to make sense of the craziness that dominates our mainstream media and social media? How else can we hope to navigate our way through a new level of worldwide stress that has emerged with the impact of COVID-19? How else can we hope to live in wisdom and discernment when strong opinions, which are fine to have, please have those strong opinions. When strong opinions, though, which are fine to have, erupt into offense, outrage, virtue signaling, and cancel culture. All the good stuff. No, it's not. It's toxic. You might say that you aren't affected by signaling, virtue signaling and cancel culture. You might say you aren't affected by this nonsense because you stay away from mainstream and social media. Fine, but it is highly unlikely that you are able to completely avoid people who are totally absorbed in it. How else can we hope to live as Jesus called us to? Not as someone whose influential opinion thinks we should live, but how Jesus called us to. When there is so much pressure to conform to a society that is increasingly opposed to biblical truth. I have a new song to sing as a prayer to close my message today. If the words inspired by Jeremiah 17:7-8 resonate strongly with you, then I invite you to simply but solemnly add your amen when the song is finished. If you are determined in your heart to begin or deepen your quiet time in the presence of God, then the Holy Spirit will take you very seriously and He will anoint you with the spiritual stamina to enter into this pursuit of knowing Jesus more. Do you have those roots that reach down deeper? This song, the chords, they were with me back when I was here at Inglewood. And I just had these chords and I didn't know what to do with them. So over 15, probably even close to 20 years, I had these chords and they just haven't gone away. And then guess what happened as I studied Jeremiah 17:7-8? These words just dropped into this song. And so I'm really excited too because my favourite guitarist on the whole planet, it's not Tommy Emmanuel, he's part of your church. Do you realise that? Ben Humphreys. So I'm really excited to be playing alongside Ben again. Thanks. And thanks to Josh for bringing the stand.
A tree planted on the riverside with roots that reach deep into the water. Come heat or drought, I'm never bothered. Like a tree planted on the riverside, with leaves that always stay bright green and never stop producing fruit so sweet like a tree. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. He is their hope and confidence. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. He is their hope and confidence. Like a tree is planted on the riverside, with roots that reach deep into the water. Come heat or drought, I'm never bothered. Like a tree is planted on the riverside, with leaves that always stay bright green and never stop producing fruit so sweet. Like a tree. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. He is their hope and confidence. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. He is their hope and confidence. Like a tree that's planted on the riverside. 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 Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. He is their hope and confidence. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. He is their hope and confidence. Like a tree that's planted on the riverside. 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 Lord, make me like a tree.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Pastor Elliot. Sandy, I wonder if you could... Sandy, I wonder if you could come up the front and Elliot. We've had a great weekend of ministry, actually, with Sandy and Elliot, as they've shared around Toddler Jam. I know I didn't ask you to come forward, but we'd love to have you up here. And we've had a great ministry over the weekend with these two, and it's been so good to have you back. You are part of our story and our legacy and our history, and it's so obvious that God's planted a heart for Kalgoorlie in your heart, and we are so looking forward to your continued ministry there and to see what you're going to do. So Melinda and I are just going to lay hands on you and pray for you. Thank you so much for Elliot and Sandy, Lord. Thank you so much for the ministry that even has been brought to us this morning. Lord, may that challenge to put down roots deep into you be one that rings in our hearts. We want to pray for Elliot and Sandy and their continued ministry in Kalgoorlie. May they see people say yes to you, and may they continue, Lord, to have that love for those people. Through everything they've been through, Lord, it's so obvious that you have sustained them. And we are so proud of them, and we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.